I mocked a guy once about memorizing, and he said that I'm going to teach you something you'll never forget from in the pulpit. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to forget it tomorrow. So I want to see if we can practice, see if this is true. So I need children under the age of, let's say, 12 and under to go right down the center aisle right here and stand in the center aisle. Just 12 and under. If you don't want to, then do it anyway. Stand right in the aisle. Right here. Look this way. Okay, stand in a row, a line, that way. Not close together. Not close together. Stand back up. Back up, Sarah Mae. You need room. No, stand still. Back up. Drift backwards. Make room. Back up. Reach your hand out like this, and if you can touch the person, you're too close. You can touch them. Back up. This is the first lesson you'll never forget. Riley's like, what do I got to go outside? Riley's back far enough. All right. If you can go like this and touch him, you're too close. What don't you? Just go like this. You'll be all right. No one's going to bite you. We're having fun. All right. Okay, ready? This is from a preacher, and it's not original, but he said, I'm going to teach you a verse. You're never going to forget it. And I have never forgotten it, and I don't practice it. I mean, I don't have to remember all the time. You ready? You ready? So you got to follow me. It's a little different. Let me get a little space here. The adults, you're going to have to just kind of do it in your seats. If you want to stand up and do it, that's fine. Here we go, kids. You ready? Now you got to pay attention. All right. It's Proverbs, three times, 15. Do three times. One, two, three. Enthusiastically. Get those hands up, you little children. All right, so it's Proverbs 15:3. You got it? The eyes of the Lord are in every place. No, you didn't do it. Now, we're going to be doing this until you do it. Now, listen. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the, in the way he did it, evil. Come on, there you go, that's it. And the good. Got it? Let's try it, ready? Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You got it? You'll never forget it. All right, have a seat. It's a crazy verse. It's easy. And the point is, we were talking about it in Sunday school, we really got to do a better job of remembering. Because I've sat in many services, and I'm just as bad. And somebody will ask, a pastor or me or someone else will say, hey, where's that book or where's that spot in the Bible that talks about the tongue? Inevitably, we know it's out there, right? Right? The tongue is an unruly little piece of, you know, whatever and sets the world on fire. But we just can't seem to remember it somewhere in the Bible, and we don't know where. So I want to talk a little bit about that because I think it's important that we know where. By the way, where is that? James? Really? See, this is what I'm talking about. So you should be looking at your Bibles. Hey, we're a Bible-believing church. Yes, amen? Kind of want to bring your Bible with you. It's just one of them things. We'll have extras here, and you're welcome to get them. Listen. Did you find it there? James chapter 3. So that's the tongue is in James 3. That's the place to start, right? So then I just want you to start thinking. All right, now, let's talk a little bit. So I started out in Sunday school class, and it was kind of like, What are you talking about? I'm just trying to find a spot where you can find things. Where did I start? 1 Corinthians. They already forgot. Chapter 1. And what was it about? Following Christ and not people, right? I cannot be defined by who I'm following unless it's Christ. So that's where the term Christian, and I love the way that, what's the guy with the speckled face? He was in Robin Hood, and he played the Muslim. Morgan Freeman, the way he says Christian. It's just, he says it really cool. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christ follower. I believe that everything that we need to live life that's pleasing to God, 1 Peter 1:3, is in this book. It's right here. Everything I need. Everything I need. So if I believe that, I'm a Christian and I'm a biblicist, if anything. I believe this. And I believe that a lot of people get carried away with conflicts, which, by the way, we shouldn't be all caught up in those. I really feel bad for where our country has been and is for the last, I don't know, 12 or 15 years or so, maybe a little longer, but it seems that we're all caught up in just, we're saying what we want to say instead of thinking. And I was really offended by what the president said about those that are kneeling for the national anthem. Listen, I don't like it either. I don't like it one bit. I don't like it when they don't take their hats and covers off. But that's not what the story is. They're trying to put a story out. Now, these poor rich people that have to kneel, how bad do I feel for them? Not one iota. Meanwhile, you know, I'm looking at it. I understand what the story's supposed to be told, but they're not going to go anywhere with it. We still have homeless in this county, don't we? We still have inadequate housing. We have families that are hungry. We have families that can't afford clothing. That's what we should be addressing. And these clowns aren't anything. They're doing nothing. And they have the right. I don't believe they ought to exercise their liberty in this way. I don't care for it, and that's where I draw the line. I said, don't use your liberty for a stumbling block to others. I want our children to honor the past, the American flag. I want them to honor what it stands for. I want them to stand for the national anthem. I want to see their hands over their hearts, or at least stand there and be respectful. And I think this is a terrible thing for them to do because it degrades what they're, the only thing that they can do, which is sportsmanship, honor, loyalty, all these things ought to be expressed by these clowns, not kneeling for the flag, for the anthem. That's terrible. But as the President of the United States, that's all that should be said. That's it. I would just like to see them stand. And frankly, I think we ought to address the issues that are most reprehensible in our communities. Absolutely. But get active. That's how you defeat this nonsense, right? So, I don't want to be a follower of that clown that started that. I don't care. I don't even know his name. All I know, he's a very wealthy individual, and he has no morals. None. From what I've read in the papers and the internet and everything, no morals. Why are you taking the lead from him? Absolutely awful. Stand up and be counted for something positive. Be a Christian, a follower of Christ. So when you see 1 Corinthians 1, you see that the church was divided, and they were saying, I'm of Paul. Oh, I'm of Apollos. I'm of this dude and that dude. No, you're a follower of Christ. Be united. Just like Americans, we're not followers of one president or another, one party or another. We're Americans. And we've got to learn that our liberty can't be a stumbling block for others. We've got to learn to control, James 3, our unruly tongues, don't we? We got to know where this stuff is. So when you hear something like what we've seen, not just from the current president, but from the nominees for the other parties that lost, wow! Control that tongue. Stand up for liberty, but don't abuse it. Where am I quoting from anyway? The liberty chapter in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 10. Don't use it for a stumbling block. Don't make other people fall aside, right? That's really important. Can we stand up for what we believe? Absolutely. But actions. Do something. Yesterday, I had the privilege to work on a home that we've set aside for a homeless female veteran. There are two in this county that we know of. Two. There shouldn't be any. Why veterans? Because they went to Afghanistan. They went and served live duty. My goodness, we can't get them a home? I'm ashamed. And if I didn't have more respect for the others that gave their lives and served our countries in other ways, not just military, I would kneel too. But I honor those that have passed in the past. I honor what it stands for. And the way that I honor it most effectively, I was in the house. So we're renovating the house. We had four volunteers. We cut out a wall. We got to put in new steps, two steps, downstairs and upstairs. We got to now, because of what we did yesterday, we got to build out walls, put up insulation. But that's all we got to do. Then we got to take the rugs up, and we got to get that floor so it's a hardwood floors under the rugs. Yeah, I know. I love hardwood floors. I actually hate them. But I like the way they look. I would carpet or linoleum. I would linoleumize the house. Not just the floor, the walls. I'd go right up the walls. Ceiling. And then I would use a hose. And I would have very little furniture. I clutter. I hate it. I just hate clutter. Anyway, back to the story. What was it? Oh, the veterans home. So that's how you do it. That's how you do it. So after I got done with veterans home, I went over to the Habitat house. By the way, we've been working on this house for 3 years. Some more than, what? No, but 3 years we've been there. So we've been working on this house. We got the upstairs. We didn't do it, but somebody in the we got the sheetrock on the second floor. All sheetrocked. Which, if you've seen this house, I can't believe we're sheetrocking. So downstairs I went. So there, I was there for a few minutes, you know, working with my friend Justin there, putting up some sheathing. And William, slow William, but he's very methodical, right? We cleaned out the building. We got some sheathing up. We built a new doorway. Now we can sheetrock the house on the first floor. And then we got to paint it, and we got to figure out the floors. What a hot mess. They're, like, not level. Hard to believe. So we've got to get these things squared away. But here, that's how you do it. I'm not saying it's the only way, but man, follow Christ. Jesus was a carpenter. I don't know that he had Habitat for Humanity, but I got to think that he'd be out there doing that stuff. And I know he served, right? Okay. So now you know where those things are. There's a lot of arguments about two particular people that come up a lot, Calvin and Arminian and Calvinists. And there's a lot of books on all this. And my intent is not to really teach on this entirely. I really want to get some more information on it. But I want to ask you something. I got to learn how to speak, New Rochelle, you know. So I figure I got to have an interpreter. Welcome to the reception. We're so glad that you came, the interpreter. How you doing? You know, we're just happy you drove up, you know. So I'm going to have so much fun with them. They don't know what they're getting into because first thing I seen, I saved a message from Chris Keir's father. I saved it on my phone because he's like, you know, I want to talk to you, you know, just a little bit. He sounds just like Rocky's brother. You know, so first thing I seen him, he talked and it was like, this is my dream come true. So, you know, he talks to me, whatever he said. And I said, you know, how you doing? You know, I was down here in New Rochelle. We thought we'd stop in. And we had a great time. We just did. Because he tries to do our accent, which apparently is pretty strong. So a lot of fun. Why are we in the position that we're in? with Christ, before Christ, or before we found Christ. Where are we? Before we find Christ, where are we? And you, where did you find that? The Bible. Good. Now let's narrow it down. Romans 3:23, and it says, fall of sin and falling short of the glory of God, right? So, let me ask you something. Sin, what is that?
We're all whispering, like, we just do it like this.
You gotta speak up.
So what is sin? Anything that doesn't bring God glory. Interesting. Okay. Where's perfection? Let's say perfection's here. Is sin up here? No, it misses the mark, right? It just totally misses. Anything falls short of perfection is sin. God is perfect. We are not. Now, how do we get in that mess? Say again? Adam and Eve did it. So we just because Adam and Eve are the parents, we're born sinners. Now, let me ask you something. Do we sin by choice? Sin by nature. You have no way that you can prevent yourself from sinning? You're kind of being soup sandwiches right now. What does the scripture say about sin? Is it you're born that way and you have no option, or do you choose to sin? And I can't hear any of the references. You must be whispering those. What book are you in? James? 1:14. And what does that tell us? So that tells me that I have the potential for sin. And in fact, when we're tempted, how are we tempted? In James 1:14. By our own strong desires. So does that sound like it's a choice? Sure it is. We sin willfully. Absolutely. Now, we're born in sin. There's no way that we're not going to sin. We're going to sin. But we're going to do it willfully. We just will. Because of our own strong desires. We're led astray. We're tempted and we succumb. There is no hope outside of Christ. There is no hope. We can't stop sinning. We can't. Because we're sinners. And does sin cover your thoughts? Wait a second. Raquel and I often do have Bible studies and have in the past, and I expect her to respond when I ask questions, right? That's great. I'm glad that we're doing this again. However, the rest of you know enough, right? You know stuff, and if you're wrong, it's okay. Don't be all sweaty. These are not trick questions. These are not trick, none. I have no trick questions. I want to know what the Bible says. Does the Bible cover your thoughts? If you're sinful in your thoughts, is that a sin? Now, how come you think that? Where? That's where you got to find. Yes, go ahead, Riley. James again? You think it's in James? Or do you know it's in James? You asking? Okay, you'd have to find that. Where do the words come from? The words come from heart. And what comes out of the heart? Wickedness, evilness, right? Where might we find that? Who said that? Who said it? Jesus, Jesus. And where did he say it? Well, are you asking or are you telling me? Right? If Jesus said it, it's probably in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, the gospel. So we're looking for, what book was it? Matthew. We're looking, no, he was looking at 6. I don't know what he's doing in 6, but I'm okay if you wanted to look there. 15:19, what does that say, Casey? Keep going down. Is there something after that? No. Shh. Casey, just keep reading. If I'm wrong, we'll just read it. Okay. So we've got the things that come out of the heart. They're evil. We're just wicked. Now, somebody said Jeremiah. Yeah, that's the heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who could know it? Jeremiah, what, 16:9 or 17:9? So we got that, yes, absolutely. But I'm looking in a New Testament. I'm trying to figure out, are the thoughts covered? Yeah, the thoughts are covered because that's what comes out, the intents of the heart. We have nothing but wickedness, but such were some of you. Such were some of you. Where is that? Where is it that it says, such were some of you? But you are now washed and sanctified, set apart. We've heard this before. Don't worry, you'll find it if you take. So, I'll give you a clue. It's another chapter of man. And what chapter is of man? I'm just pretending. What number is man? 6. So it's in the 6th. Chapter of a given book. Which book might that be? Does that help you? See, there's another 6. I told you there'd be other 6s. Genesis 6 is the flood. It's all about man. God was like, wow, I made man and repented him and he made man on the earth and he's going to, the flood was coming. John 6:66 says these guys were no longer going to follow Christ. They were going to follow themselves, I suppose. But now there's another one about man and it's in a 6th chapter of a particular book. It talks about being such were some of you. So you were thinking what? Corinthians? Yes, 1 Corinthians 6. Right? These are key chapters and verses. Okay? So look at chapter 6. Look in the latter part of 6. In verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. 1 Corinthians, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, and then comes Romans. 1 and 2 Corinthians. That's how you find it. Remembering it. You there? So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators or idolaters or adulterers, effeminate, abusers themselves with mankind, thieves, covetousness, drunkards, nor violers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we were those things. We were identified by our sin. And these were willful acts, absolutely. Now, is any person sinless? No. No person is sinless. None. Only Christ, who's God, who came down as man, was sinless. We all know that. But the rest of us, we have an inheritance, definitely, from Adam and Eve, the sin nature. But we do it by choice. We just do. We're just bad. It's like your brother, you know? You know he's going to be naughty because he's a boy. He's going to wreck stuff. But then we also know that Sarah Mae here is going to be naughty too. Why? Because she's a girl. All of us sin. It doesn't matter. All of us. And we choose to. Are you all right with that? Doesn't there's a saying, choose this day who you will follow. First Kings? And Joshua 24:15 is the classic passage. Maybe Kings has it, but I'm not going to question you on it, but I'm going to say it's Joshua 24:15. Where choose this day. We make a choice, don't we? We either follow Christ or we don't. That's choose this day. Even after we're saved, choose this day. You with me so far? And you've got some verses on that? You all right with that? Yeah, man is absolutely, absolutely sinful. But we're willful in our sin. Absolutely. We're not going to be, oh, you were born of Adam and Eve, you're going to go to hell automatically. Well, you're going to go because you refused Christ. That's why you go. You're presented with a choice. Do I follow Christ and accept what he's done? And if I don't, I reject it. That's what we do, right? If I were to ask you, did Christ die for all people? Why would you say that? John 3:16, right? Everybody knows John 3:16 just about, right? It's one that we're all familiar with. You don't need to know it word perfect, but it'd be nice if you knew it. But so many versions, I don't know what word perfect is anyway, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now what? That whosoever believeth in him shall not die, but have everlasting life. We got the rest. But John 3:16 tells us that Christ died for the whole world. There's no way around it. So what about this business with, well, no, there's some people that just aren't going to be saved. Now, I have a problem when people do this because, really, do you know which ones? No. Can you tell which ones are saved? Not always. Not always. It's not our spot. It's not our position. It's not our place. Our place is, for God so loved the world. Will you come? Right? Isn't that what we do? Isn't that where we should be? Look, I don't know anything about all these crazy theories, and people write books on it. These are smart people. All I know is God loved the whole world, and he died, and he paid the price for sin. I can show you that in the scriptures. The election, that's a real hard thing for people to get. And when you start talking about that, they get all crazy, right? They get nuts because then I question my salvation, and it's hard. Listen, here's the choice. And I've given it to my children. There are things that are done in the morning. And those things are? Yeah. So we got make your bed, pick up your dirty clothes, put your shoes under your bed. Neatness. Keep the room clean. Right? There's certain things that are done. Now, there's two options. You can choose to do option one, which is make your bed, pick up your dirty clothes. That's option one. Option two is not so pleasant. Option two is we dump everything in the room, in the center of the room, and you can spend the whole day cleaning it. Or, equal to that, Dad will go through and pick everything up, bag it, and put it in the attic and forget about it. And I will, and I have. Well, we did. In the Fultonville house, we had an attic. And there were toys up there. Totally forgot. But the children chose not to pick them up. So the children lost them. You say, well, you spent all that money on them. I don't really care. It's already spent, right? But here's the point. Those are the two options. Now, inevitably, children, like us, we want a third option. Don't we? Don't Don't we want a third option? Listen, I don't want to pick up the toys, clean up my room. I don't want to make the bed. I don't want to do that. But I don't want to lose all my stuff. So maybe there's a way where I could not do it and not pay the penalty. That's what we do, don't we? As people, this is what we try. We try to finagle. And here's the thing. That girl right there and the other ones, they are destined, predestined to suffer consequences if they choose the wrong way. And if they just stay over here, they're okay. I'm all right with that. But here's the thing. I'm not going to throw them out of the house. They're still going to be my kids. You know, this is the best I can do. And I love them anyway. Yeah, you're going to lose all the toys. And Hebrews, what book tells us, Hebrews something, that God loves us, and he shows us his love by chastisement. Where might I look? What? Well, I know Hebrews, but that's got a lot of pages in it. I'm trying to get it down. Tony, I got to find something easier here than just... What you need to do is read the book of Hebrews, and sooner or later you will find it. Somebody whispered it, but they weren't sure, so they're like flipping and looking. I'll wait. We're over in chapter 11? 12? Which, wait. 12:11. I was like, oh man. 12:11, right? Let's look at what it says. Well, you can go back a little bit. There's a whole bunch here on chastening. Let's go back a little bit. Let's go to 5, because somebody said 7. And you have forgotten the exhortation. Now, Hebrews, what's the book before Hebrews? Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, right? So James is after it. So that's how you find it. You just got to know the books around it. Frankly, we got to memorize these books, don't we? Don't we have to memorize these books? No? You don't care about memorizing them books? How else are you going to find Philemon? If you didn't know where Philemon, wow, I have to remember, right? I have to, wait, where is Philemon? It's a sneaky book. There's only one chapter. That thing hides. So you got to know where it is. All right, back to Hebrews. So we're in Hebrews? All right, look at Hebrews chapter 12, and we're reading that. And you've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Isn't that nice? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. That's quoting Psalm 94:12, and it's looking at Proverbs 3:11-12. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. I love the fact that God knows what we're made of, 1 Corinthians 10:13, and he says, listen, I know what you're made of, but I'm going to provide a way to escape. And in this book, Hebrews 11, it says, but if you don't listen, I'm going to have to beat the tar out of you in the nicest way possible. Beat the tar out of you, spank you. Right? In the nicest way. But you've caused him to, this is the direction that you've chosen. So God loves us, but he's not up there saying, all right, well, Joe, he's going straight to hell. No, Joe's going to have the witness just as much as Kathy and just as much as me. He's going to receive the witness. He's died. He's paid the price. And this is the unpardonable sin. From this standpoint, Joe hears the gospel, he rejects it. He's rejecting what Christ has done. That's what condemns him. Right? And everybody, Romans 1, sees, has an opportunity to know there's a God and that we ought to seek him. We have an opportunity. If I didn't think that, then I would be worried about the pygmies in Africa. Still worried about them because they're running around naked in the woods. That's just scary, right? But I know God sends faithful people, and I know it because I know one who's out of his mind and went to the pygmies in Africa. I can't believe it. I know somebody that went to the pygmies in Africa, and he converted. God worked through him. They built a church right out of the blue. So I know this, that God loves the pygmies. And I have no idea how that worked. But he didn't create those pygmies to send them to hell. He loved them. He died for them. But if they don't follow, God chastens. He brings it to bear. You all right with that? You good? All right. Sometime we'll expand on that in Sunday school, just to spend some time on the elect and just talk about it. Who's elected? The church, you've heard the thing, church and Israel. Israel is not the church, and church is not Israel. We're going to teach a little more on that once I get a little more developed on the outline. I could teach it, but I'd be like jumping around, a little nervous. But I'd teach it. So I'd like to get a little more on that. But God really, in 1 Peter 3:18. Now you're in Hebrews. Go to back a page, a couple pages. Peter's after Hebrews. So it's easy to find. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also has suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which were sometime disobedient when the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Wow. I like to read that just to remind me. Only eight people turned to God back in the days of the flood. The rest would not. And by the way, the movie is horrible. It's terrible. I didn't even watch the whole thing. I just watched the previews, a clip, and it was so far off base. Who was hiding in the ship? It was Methuselah or just somebody hiding in the ship trying to kill people. It just, oh my. Everyone. And it's just crazy. So back to this. So Christ died for all the sins. He died. He paid the price. If he only paid for some of them, wasn't enough. Can't pay for some sins, but not the rest. It doesn't make any sense. Otherwise, the Bible's wrong. When it's pointing to Christ as the one that paid the price for sin, and the sacrifices were a picture, and Christ is the fulfillment. He's either the fulfillment or he's not. He can't be just a partial fulfillment. He had to pay the price for all sin. And then the Gentiles were grafted in. So we're saved for what he did. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. The whole thing breaks down. Let me ask you something. Have you ever witnessed to somebody? Really? Did you really witness to somebody? So you took them through the Romans Road, or you words came out of your mouth about the cross. So you talked about that, right? Now let me ask you. Did they receive it? Did you ever have somebody reject it? I've had somebody reject it. I've had a few somebody's reject it. How can they reject it? How can that be possible? Listen, when you die, it's not over. You live forever. Your soul lives forever. This isn't something that God just created and you go away. That's, what is that called? It's just, you disappear and that's the end of it. Boy, if that were true, then give me all you can, right? Because I'd want more so I could at least enjoy it while I was around. Because I'm not going to exist afterwards? No. Christ created us, and we have the soul that lives forever. And you tell them, if you don't choose Christ, the existence after that is Christless, but it's continuing. And you can show them in the scriptures, and they reject it. Wow. Can grace be refused? My kids refuse it regularly. Because they didn't clean their rooms and pick up their dirty clothes, right? That's grace. Or could they resist? Absolutely, my children can resist and do. They do. I did. Yeah, you can resist it. Yeah, you can resist it. And that's a real problem for folks that don't just adhere to the Bible. Just go to the Bible. What does it say? That you can, you're gone. You can say no. And I got a great example. I got a great example of somebody that had the witness in their whole life, you know, in their life for 3+ years, and they rejected it. Judas. He totally rejected the entire message. He rejected all of it. And he went to his own place that he chose. That's why it's his own. It's not created for him. Hell is created for Satan and his angels. But Judas chose his place. Does that make sense? That's why it's his own. Of course, you have to read the Greek. You have to study. You can't just take it out and say, see, it's for his own. God created Judas to go to hell. No, he did not. Judas made a choice. And he created his own place. In other words, he chose his own place. And by the way, I think as you go, if you end up separated from Christ for eternity, you do have your own place there. And you will remember everything. You will remember when you were witnessed to. You will remember the witness that God provided in his creation. I believe that. The worm dies not. There's memory. You will forever, forever be asking for forgiveness. Forever. The man in the story that Christ told, where the rich man, he forever will be asking for a drop of water, just a drop. He'll never know if his brothers ever came to know Christ. He'll be separated. He won't have the luxury of having others with him. It'll be a lonely, only existence by himself, remembering everything and how he rejected Christ. So, yeah, you can resist it. Sure, absolutely. Why? It doesn't make sense otherwise. Judas is a great example. Can you imagine being with Christ all that time? By the way, Peter resisted right up till the resurrection, after the resurrection. Peter didn't have it figured out. In John 20, he said, I am going back to what I used to do, fishing. I'm out of here. I don't want to put up with it. I'm scared to death. And then in that same chapter, he got the rest of them to follow him. And the word that's used for him going is different than the other ones. The going that he was going was he was abandoning the cause, going back to his fishing. And that's why Jesus had to appear to him, because God loved him, and he was going to chasten him. He didn't have it figured out. He wasn't lost. He just didn't know what to do. So Christ came and explained it to him. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. You're still mine. Remember back a couple chapters? Satan desired all of them to sift them all like wheat, not just Peter. We just heard that from the pulpit a few months ago. He wanted them to destroy him, to destroy himself and his testimony. But God, Jesus wouldn't allow it. And he went in person and chastised Peter. He said, do you love me? And he squared him away. And from that point, Peter got it. Then he struggled again, didn't he, in the book of Acts. What did Peter struggle with? Do you remember? What was it? What to eat. He was separating Jews and Gentiles in the food. He didn't know what to do. He didn't get it, that the Gentiles were being welcomed in, grafted in. not becoming Israel, but they also can be saved. And now the law is gone, buddy. Eat the ham. I think it was bacon. Eat the bacon. It's okay. And since then, we've all eaten bacon. We like it, you know. We've been eating it anyway. We're like Gentiles. We're pagans anyway. So, yeah, you can resist. But God loves us. He's not going to let us fall. He is going to chastise his own. One of the ways that you know, are you saved? Well, if you pick your own path and you know it's the wrong way, by the way, you know. Is God right there bringing some witness in your life? Do you like it? No. You know, I know of one case. There's something happened in the past. There's something happening. This person was living a life that really was not pleasing to God. And they knew it. They knew it. They know what the Bible says, right? But they chose a direction, right? In complete disobedience. And along comes sandpaper. We'll call him Sandpaper Woody. And he comes along and he rubs. And it's a really rough sandpaper. Sandpaper Woody didn't say what probably should have been said, in our opinion, in retrospect, maybe. Or just, you should be nicer. Whatever the case may be. But Sandpaper Woody came along and he did that. And the person that heard it rejected it. And said, because Sandpaper Woody said that to me, though he's right, I'm out of here. And that person is still going down the wrong path. Now, I don't know their heart. I have no idea. I don't know. All I know is God loved them. They profess salvation. I got to believe they're saved. I'm going to go after them. And at some point, I'm going to stop chasing them, which I've done. So has everyone else. And we don't know what, that's it. At some point, they got to be out so that Satan can have some time with them and God can draw them back. And if they're one of us, they'll come back. That's the only thing I can say, because that's what's in 1 John. That's it, right? I can't. And so I want you, last thing. There's people in your lives right here, these people. Others that'll come in. Like Sandpaper Woody. They're going to come, and they're not going to say the most pleasant thing, perhaps. They're going to say it wrong. Like our president. He just said the wrong thing. You know what's going to happen today before the game? 25% are going to take a knee. Why? Because he came out and said the wrong thing. Now they're empowered. Right? These people have no understanding of the suffering. Because they're millionaires, that they're going to have a statement now. Oh, we have been treated so badly. Really? You've been treated badly? How big's that check you're getting? Right? They have nothing to say. But now they do. You watch. I don't know if it'll be 25. It'll definitely be over 10%. All kinds of people. You're going to have the stadium. People in the stadium are going to take a knee. They're going to remain seated. This is what we're done now. That's great. So you may not like the messenger. You may not like the message the way they put it. But can you go back to the scripture and pull from that and say, I understand the message. I understand what's being said. I don't like the way it was said. I don't particularly care for the messenger. But I understand that God loves me. And I know now he loves me a lot. I must be saved. That's a good feeling, isn't it? In case you weren't sure, you're sure now. Someone came after me. Somebody told me the word. And they loved me enough to say it. Didn't love me enough to think about it, maybe, about what they're saying. Or maybe that's the best that they could do. But they said it, right? What am I going to do? What am I going to, throw the prophet out? Say, forget it. I don't want to hear it. That's what we got the Old Testament for. This is an example in the Old Testament. It tells you all about that, right? David getting rocks thrown at him. I don't like Shimei. But he said, you know what? Maybe he's sent here by God. Maybe I can learn something from him. Maybe there's something there. I don't know. So, you're going to be chastised. You're going to be up against it. And then somebody's going to come in your life, and they're not going to particularly care for it. You're not going to like it. But they're going to be right. They're right. Because you compared it to Scripture, and you're like, yeah, I guess I got to deal with that. I don't know how to. Maybe I got it all screwed up. But here's the great thing about it. God loves us. So I got a friend right now. He's struggling with his nicotine issues. I totally understand. But you know it's bad, right? Yep. You know it really bad, right? Yep. So we're working on that. Okay. And I'm going to remind him. My lovely wife is going to remind him. We're here. We understand. I never dealt with nicotine like that. I grew up in a family that smoked like clouds. I had, back in the day, you know, there was a cloud in my house. So I have definitely secondhand smoke like you wouldn't believe. I'm surprised I wasn't hooked. But here's the thing. You know it's wrong. Okay, so let's keep working toward it. How many packs are you down to? Down to one pack. Great. All right. Going to try a patch. Great. Try the gum. Good. That's what you do. Keep the eye on the ball. Finish the good work that you've begun. And accept the message, but it's okay, right? This is in our church today where we may not like the messenger, but we got the message, so we got to deal with it, don't we? We got to deal with it. And we're okay, aren't we? So think about it. That's really where I wanted to go today, just talk about that. You know, and it's no surprise, not true confession, but, you know, Pastor Wood and I didn't always see eye to eye. Not in Scripture. By the way, that's why I admire the man. He's probably one of the best teachers. He was just so good at it. He could just, off the cuff, just tell you the answer. And really, his treatment of John 15 is the best I have ever read. And I have read a lot of John 15 commentaries. A lot. Because it's always confusing to me, the way it's written. And he did a great job. We have that book in the back. It's really I think it's required reading. Because it's just so well done. And that's what Pastor Wood did. Expositor. He could write and tell you. Sometimes, though, we just didn't see eye to eye. But he was at sandpaper. And what you just got to compare it to Scripture. And as a result of that, he and I, we were able to reconcile wholly and 100%. And I say that without any issue. But it wasn't without its bumps and grinds. But I do admire him. I do respect him as an elder of the church. And frankly, I'm kind of sad that he's gone, aren't you? But I know someday we're going to meet in heaven. And then we're going to be like, not even remember any of this nonsense, and we're going to be back in total fellowship through Christ. And that's really where we have to be, don't we? So I did want to remember him today. Sue and I are in D.C. this weekend, coming weekend, so we're not going to be here. And it's going to look weird because this is the second time we weren't in town. And I really wanted to mention that, particularly to the church family. You know, we had Pastor Wood when they first came to town in our house for 5 months. I didn't know them, and they didn't know us. All we knew is we had a place, and they needed a place. And then they showed up with a dog. To top it all off, we got a dog. But, you know, it was an interesting 5 months, and I learned a lot about them. And really what helped me is, because you always put the preachers and then missionaries, I put even higher on my little, you know, my hierarchy of Christians, which I totally despise. But I always lift up the missionaries and I put them on top, especially ones that, you know, are really out in these obscure countries. I know Argentina is not exactly obscure, but it's a tough area. And I put him up on there, and when he came and lived with us, it was really easy to take him off that pedestal, right? Because he's just a guy, and his wife, just a lady. But they're saved. And I got to tell you, it was an interesting experience. Very interesting. We Wow. It helped me a lot. And we really, we were total 100% in agreement on the scriptures, 100%. And having them here was important for our church, in this way especially. God sends the most interesting people to witness to us and be part of the story, doesn't he? So I hope we don't forget it. I hope we honor them, and I hope we keep them in memory, good and bad. But we learn always from the scripture, and we go back to the scripture. But what did they teach us? And how does it line up? Pretty darn well, right? So let's close. So, Lord, we want to thank you so much for all you've done in our church. We thank you for your word. We thank you especially for the clarity of it. It does take study, and it does take time. And there's some difficult verses in there. Romans 9 is very difficult. However, if you study it, it's not so bad. Hebrews chapter 6, tough stuff. Hebrews chapter 12, tough stuff. Hebrews is a tough book. But you've given us enough here in our church so we can understand these things. And we can learn and we can apply. But in the end, we want to keep this simple gospel in front of us. Christ paid the price. We are lost without him. We fall short of the glory of God. The penalty that we have facing us is death. But you've paid that price. All we need to do is receive it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we thank you for that. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to be faithful to that. And we take a moment to remember Richard and Lee and all that they did for us, good and bad. But it was all good because you work all things together for good to them that are called. And we just thank you, Lord, that they were here and they were a part of our body for many years. And we thank you for the opportunity to serve them in so many ways and to go through the difficulties that they faced and that just hard, hard stuff. And we know that much was learned, and we thank you for that. And even in that, we say, so be it. Amen. We know where they are, and we thank you for the assurances that we have. In Christ's name we pray.